Broadcasting live from the Biz 1190 studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for the Business Radio X Week in Review. We know you're busy, so we've got you covered. Catch up on the week's top Atlanta business headlines and meet the industry execs and thought leaders who move Atlanta's bottom line. Now, here's your host, Dana Barrett.
Good afternoon. It is Sunday, March 2nd, 2014. This is the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm Dana Barrett, and with me today, as always, producer Mike Roy. How are you, sir? Okay.
I'm fine. That wasn't my mistake. It was the headphone. Okay. It was the microphone.
Sure. It's just, it has a mind of its own.
And I keep, and I'm also distracted because I've seen my reflection in your sunglasses today.
It's very bright outside, and I'm being a diva, so there
you're
you go.
You're definitely a diva, and you don't need sunglasses for that either.
Well, that's true. That's a good point. You're on it today.
Oh.
The number here in the studio, 404-231-1190. We are here live, and we are happy to take your calls anytime. You can also tweet us at my personal Twitter name, which is at Dana H. Barrett, or with the hashtag BizRadio. That's hashtag B-I-Z Radio. A lot of stuff going on today, a lot to catch you up on. Of course, first of all, it is Oscars. It's the Oscars tonight. Oscar Sunday. Is that like Super Bowl Sunday? I think it is Oscar Sunday.
For some people, it is.
Yeah, for some people, it's bigger than Super Bowl Sunday. People have Oscars parties. Do you say Oscar parties or Oscars parties? I don't know.
Oscar parties sounds good.
It sounds better, right? Okay, so Oscar parties and Ellen DeGeneres hosting. She is hilarious, so I'm sure that will be quite enjoyable. And this is the first year, I have to say, that I have actually seen maybe not all, but most of the movies that are nominated in different categories. Some years I just can't, I don't want to see the serious stuff. I just need action movies and people shooting each other and comedies, and I can't watch all the serious dramas. But this year I actually saw a large number of them, so it'll be fun to watch it.
You're kind of adding movie critic to your... Your show title.
I know.
You tend to review some movies almost every week.
I know. I do like to share my movie experiences with the listening audience. I saw Philomena last night, which I don't know if it's nominated for. I don't know what it's nominated for, if anything. But I know it's a critically acclaimed, and I think it was nominated for some of the Golden Globes or what. I don't know. I can't keep track of all these award shows. Anyway, the bottom line is, it was a great movie. We saw it at Terra. Very enjoyable movie, great acting, really interesting story based on a true story, and really, really well done. So I highly recommend it if you get a chance to see it. It did not include Benedict Cumberbatch, but, you know, you can't have everything.
He can't be in everything, so...
But it was made by the BBC. Like, BBC Films made that movie. It is, you know, a British-y sort of movie, but no Benedict Cumberbatch. Okay. All right. Well, we've got, as always, some great clips from Business Radio X this week, and a lot of local stories to catch you up on, a lot of national stories to catch you up on. I almost, like, don't know where to start. I do want to, before we move away too far from the Oscars, I do want to tell you about a quick story I read that I thought was sort of humorous. The Upstarts Journal, I think it's called Upstart Journal. God, I'm having trouble with my singular and plurals today for some reason. The Upstart Journal had an article called Six Films Ride Entrepreneurship Wave into Oscars. So basically what this means to me is that you can pretty much come up with any angle on any story ever in the world. So this is basically what they did. They looked at some of the movies that are nominated, and they said, how are they business related? And of course they came up with Dallas Buyers Club. Of course, that's, you know, he basically created an illegal business bringing in drugs to help with AIDS, people struggling with AIDS. The Wolf of Wall Street, obviously business related, and American Hustle, both Wolf of Wall Street and American Hustle, sort of about people making it to the top through, you know, illegal and not so good means. Nebraska, Bruce Stern thinking that he maybe won $1 million, like everybody sort of hangs on to that hope that maybe their $1 million lottery winning is still out there. So that was kind of interesting. And anyway, so you can kind of look at a lot of the movies through that lens if you want to, which I think is interesting. I've said often, and I will probably say many more times on this station, that in some way everything is business. Everything comes down to money and business in some way. So depending on what lens you want to look at things through, it's kind of interesting. All right, before we get to the next clip, I also want to mention a story that I happen to see. I can't believe this, but Sweetwater is celebrating its 17th anniversary. Can you believe that?
wouldn't have guessed it's been around that long.
Right. Their anniversary was actually February 23rd, and I swear it feels like that brand just came on the scene maybe 10 years ago, but 17.
1997.
Did you just do math?
Yes.
That was super impressive.
Yes, I'm good at math. That doesn't mean I like it, but I know how to do it.
Wow.
You're hired. I'm hired.
You're hired. But yeah, so Sweetwater, 17 years old, and they are, in honor of their anniversary, they have a new ale, they have some new cans, and they announced their lineup for what is the 10th anniversary of their Sweetwater 420 Festival, which, in case you didn't catch the story, I think we mentioned it a month or two ago, that is now going to be at Centennial Olympic Park because it's gotten so big. So this is another interesting thing, Mike Roy, and you might know some of these bands. I'm not going to read them out loud, but they listed all the bands that are going to be playing at the Sweetwater 420 Festival, and it just made me feel old because, honestly, I did not know a single one of them. So I really just am now a fuddy-duddy. It's official.
A fuddy-duddy, huh?
Yes. In honor of my upcoming birthday, I am now officially a fuddy-duddy. It's very, very sad. I'm trying to stay young and hip, but it's not really working. I need a youth guru to, like, keep me...
Am I a little too old for that?
I don't know. You might be. You might be straddling the fence there of, you know, maturity. I don't know.
maturity and age are two different things.
Well,
so I guess I should say touche.
Touche. All right, let's get to our first clip from BusinessRadioX.com. As you know, lots of great programming over there on Business Radio X. They have all kinds of different programs for all different segments of business, but one of the sort of premier shows over there is the Atlanta Business Radio Show, and you can catch all of the episodes of that show by going to atlantabusinessradio.businessradiox.com. Anyway, this clip was from earlier in the week, and the hosts of the show are Lee Cantor and Stone Payton, and this week they had Tim Quinn from the Honey Baked Ham Corporation into the studio, and he's talking a little bit about the brand, and I thought it was kind of interesting, so let's take a listen.
No one dislikes Honey Baked Ham. It's just a universally loved brand. And then I think your challenge is the awareness that you also sell sandwiches year-round.
Right.
But that's a much easier problem to solve than saying I exist in the first place to try me. Everybody loves you.
We've only been doing it for 20 years, so yeah. I know that's new.
Know,
it's
that's
a new,
new.
It's a new sales channel for us. No, that is. People still think of us as that ham.
I get a whole ham. They don't think I get a ham sandwich.
Right.
Do your local people have to go out and kind of re-educate the consumer that, hey, you know, we can cater your lunch that you have here next week?
That is spot on because, you know, part of the year is supplying the demand. So at the holidays, these managers work really hard on forecasting and producing, making sure that we can meet the demand on the holidays. But then January 1st...
Now what are they doing?
Right. They have to switch gears, and they have to go out, and they need to be involved in their community. So finding a person that can do both. Be a strong operator, but also be a business development person within their community, mayor of their community, you might say.
Is that one of your tenets, or you want them to be kind of the mayor of their community?
We do. We do. We're not out peddling the brand. We're out trying to get involved and trying to get involved in schools and get involved with businesses, and it's really about building relationships for us because we really are a relationship brand. So, yeah, the manager has to be able to do that.
So then he'll go into the businesses. Who would be the target?
The neat thing for us is anyone that eats.
Right.
So they're our target. Because it could be for lunch, it could be for catering, it could be for a holiday meal. So when the manager comes in, it's really, hey, I'm here, I'm from Honey Baked, and I've got some lunches with me. I've got some box lunches with me.
All right, again, that was Tim Quinn from Honey Baked Ham Corporation on the Atlanta Business Radio Show over on BusinessRadioX.com. I thought it was really interesting for a couple of reasons. First of all, he talks about how they do business development, right? First of all, there's a brand issue there. A lot of people think of them as a place to get a ham for Christmas or Thanksgiving or Easter, but they don't necessarily think about them as a sandwich brand. And so, and that's true for me. I drive by Honey Baked Ham, and it does not occur to me to stop there for lunch. However, I thought it was interesting that he did not even once mention using social media or digital channels to get that word out. He strictly talked about doing it the old-fashioned way, having his business dev managers or business development people go out into the community and meet and greet people in office buildings, in offices, at corporations, on loading docks, and all of that. I just thought that was really interesting that, you know, there are companies out there that are still, you know, embracing doing things the old-fashioned way, which is interesting and I think important. And you know, he says it's all about relationships, and I think that's true. I mean, one of the things that always bothers me is when people talk about you know, business to business marketing as if it's the people that work in the other business that you're trying to market to aren't human beings who need to eat a sandwich for lunch, right? I mean, companies are entities for sure, but they don't, the entity doesn't make the decision. The people that work for the entity make the decision. And those people are still people at the end of the day with senses of humor and, you know, hunger and thirst and families and all of those things. So I find it really interesting. I think that says a lot for that company. It says they really are thinking like human beings, which is hugely important. Followers on social media are great to that end. At Dana H. Barrett on Twitter. Facebook.com/TheDanaBarrett. No, I'm kidding. But the thing is, followers are great, but they don't necessarily bond with you in a real relationship way the same way you can bond with somebody when you meet them in person. You know, when I've met somebody in person, I'm much more likely to want to give them my business rather than just reading about it online. So anyway, just thought that was an interesting point. Of course, we've got a lot of local stories to catch up on, a couple interesting national headlines and some more great clips from Business Radio X. So please stay with us. We will take a short break and we'll be right back. All right, we are back. And thanks to me for leading us right back into the show with the great commercial.
Yeah, that promo sounded a little familiar.
Yeah, the music and everything. It's very familiar.
I heard it just a few minutes ago.
This is the Business Radio X Week in Review. I am still Dana Barrett, last time I checked. Mike Roy still here with me, hanging
last
out.
Last time I checked, too.
Yeah, and lots of stuff to go over today. Let's check in on some of the local Atlanta headlines. Now, last week, I'm sad that I was taken in by the hoax, but I reported that there was going to be a protest of Bieber moving to Atlanta, and of course it turns out that that was a hoax put on by the regular guy's morning show. There was no actual protest, that was just a hoax. So sorry to have fallen for it along with every other media outlet across the country, but I don't know how I feel about that kind of stuff. Like, I guess it's funny ish. I don't know. It wasn't that funny. But I fell for it, so I guess, you know, it worked. And like they said, somebody said after it came out that it was a hoax that, you know, like it didn't work or something like that. And the guys tweeted back, yeah, it did. We got like all these media outlets all across the country to talk about us. So it worked for what they were trying to accomplish. And while we're on the subject of media, I caught a headline this week. The Atlanta Business Chronicle will be launching a TV show in the next, I think it's the next couple of weeks. It's going to be a 30-minute weekly show on 11 Alive here in Atlanta, focusing on what's happening in Atlanta regards business. And I'm all for that. The more the merrier. That's what we do here on Biz 1190, so we're happy to have more people joining the conversation. Of course, the Business Chronicle really leads the way in keeping Atlanta posted on what's happening in business, but, you know, newspapers have to think outside the box now, so they're kind of do it in all different kinds of formats, and one of them is going to be TV. So we'll see how that goes. What else is happening locally? Oh, well, this one was kind of interesting and randomly a little bit exciting for me, and I can't explain why, but Denny's is planning to open 20 new restaurants in the Atlanta area. I do love a good Moons Over Miami sandwich. I think that's what it was called. I used to love that sandwich whenever I was traveling. I grew up with more Denny's around. There's not that many Denny's in Georgia. There are a few. I think there's something like 6 in the greater Atlanta area, or maybe that's in Georgia altogether. I'm not sure, but
it's more of a Northeast restaurant, because I'm from Connecticut. We had them everywhere.
Yeah, and we did too.
And not as many down here. You see more IHOPs down here.
Exactly. Although even those seem to have dwindled a bit. But you're right. There do seem to be more of those. I think the real thing here is Waffle House, right?
So
they don't
serve pancakes. And people that's love
true.
Pancakes.
People like their pancakes.
So you do see IHOPs, but Waffle House still easily outdoes.
I think it's sad and slightly embarrassing that I'm excited that there's going to be Denny's.
I love Denny's.
And I do too. And one of them is actually going to be relatively close to me, like not too far. I think it's supposed to be there's going to be one at North Druid Hills and Buford Highway. So that's not too far. I can get over there in probably 10 or 15 minutes and get me some delicious
Miami.
Yeah. So I just thought I'd share that with everyone. I think they're going to, they're also going to be bringing about 1,500 new jobs with all those stores opening. So that's pretty exciting. Anyway, lots of new things happening in that regard. there's a new boutique called Scoop NYC that's coming to Buckhead, into the new Buckhead Atlanta development. A lot of interesting stores are going to be there. And is it also sad that I want to go to Denny's and then go shopping at like the fancy doodle Buckhead stores? Cashmere maker Bruno Cucinelli will be there, luxury Italian label Etro, and then now this Scoop New York City boutique, Scoop NYC, coming also. Here's another interesting local story, I thought. Well, it's not a local story. It's sort of a national story, but it affects us. And that is that the company Prince, that makes the tennis rackets, Prince Global Sports LLC, if you play tennis, you know them, they are moving their headquarters from Bordentown, New Jersey, to Atlanta. And one of the reasons is because we have the largest city tennis league in the world, with the Atlanta Lawn Tennis Association, everyone here knows as ALTA. So, you know, when you live here, you just take it for granted that that's what people do. I just thought people everywhere had ALTAs. But no, we are special. And because of that, well, that's one of the reasons that Prince is moving their headquarters here. So it's kind of cool, I thought. Anytime business is moving to Atlanta or opening new things in Atlanta, we like that. And since we are talking tennis, that is a good segue for me to bring up golf. Because somehow the tennis and golf people, they're sort of all friends and they, you know, they hang out together at the country club. Well, there's a new place, I guess we'll call it, entertainment center, if you will, called Top Golf, that's coming to Alpharetta. And I have to say, it sounds kind of cool. And I don't even play golf. I have played. I am not very good at it. I'm actually terrible at it, which is why I don't play regularly, but I have played. I used to actually own clubs, not anymore. Anyway, Top Golf is a really interesting place, and they're coming to Alpharetta. They're planning to hire more than 450 people in March and April. Right now, the types of people they're looking for are bartenders, servers, kitchen staff, bussers, food runners, things like that. There are links online where you can go and apply if you're interested, but the cool thing about it is it's like technology and golf come together to make entertainment. So what happens is players hit golf balls that have computer microchips in them that track each shot's accuracy and distance, and you get points for hitting certain targets out in the outfield. So it's kind of like a high-tech golf funness. I don't know. It just sounds cool. I, even as someone who doesn't actually know how to swing a club with any kind of accuracy, like if I even hit the ball, I'm in good shape. Like I mostly hit the grass and like, or hit the air and the ball just sits on the tee. But,
And a chunk of grass goes flying.
Right. I'm very good at that.
While the ball sits there.
Yes, exactly. I'm excellent at that. But I actually think it sounds kind of fun. I would be curious to try it. All right. So those are some fun things. I don't know why I was so focused this week on just food and entertainment, but I was. What can you do? As always, lots of great clips again from Business Radio X. So we do have another clip to share with you in this segment of our show. And this one is from the High Velocity Radio Show. This one, sometimes they have guest hosts, but this week it was actually hosted by Leon Stone again. And they had a guy named Justin Tomczak, I think I'm pronouncing that right, from State Farm Insurance. And we've been hearing a lot about State Farm having that new big development over there on 285, like right in Sandy Springs in the perimeter. Well, Justin is going to give us some details on that, so let's take a listen.
Now, State Farm has been in the news a little bit here in the Sandy Springs area because of the new campus that is coming to town. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. On Friday, there was an announcement from KDC, which is our real estate partner, that we were going to be expanding along I-285. This has been reported on over the previous year, and folks have probably seen the State Farm logo on some buildings right along 285.
Right. You weren't subtle about it.
No, we weren't. What this is going to be is one of our multifunctional hubs, and there's three cities that were chosen for it: Atlanta, Dallas, and Phoenix, and it's a site of a major expansion. In the past year, State Farm added around 3,000 new jobs here in Georgia, which is exciting. And over the coming 10 years, this is a 10-year project, we're going to be adding at least 3,000 more jobs right here in Metro Atlanta. That's a big number. It's exciting, and it's great to see Georgia chosen as the site for this expansion. Of all the different places it could have gone, it's right here.
Can you talk a little bit about why Metro Atlanta? Why was that chosen?
Well, as we're looking for what's the best ways we can continue to improve and serve our customers, Metro Atlanta has a lot to offer. You look at the transportation, the new facility that is going to be constructed here with groundbreaking starting this summer, actually sits on top of a MARTA station. So
right, you're right next to the MARTA.
Right next to
which
it.
Which is right next to the airport.
Yep, right next to the Atlanta airport, which is great, right along 285. We have easy access for employees coming in who can choose a variety of ways to get to the office and get home. If you look at the long-term plans for this development, there's retail, there's also residential in there. That's very exciting, so folks can live and work and play right there, right along 285, right by the MARTA station.
All right. Again, that was the High Velocity Radio Show on Business Radio X, and you can listen to the rest of that interview by going to highvelocityradio.businessradiox.com. I think it was interesting for a couple of reasons. First of all, whenever you see a new development coming in, you're always curious, what are they doing? Why are they doing it? That's going to be a lot of jobs over the next 10 years here in Atlanta. They've already added a lot of jobs over the last, I think, year to 2 years, which I think is always great for us. And I love that he talked about, you know, I'm so glad that Lee asked why Atlanta was chosen, because, you know, Atlanta, we're working so hard, I think, in Atlanta. The mayor is, you know, really working. Everybody's really working to try to make Atlanta attractive to businesses. And at some level, it must be working because, you know, here's a huge company, State Farm, coming here. Here's Prince moving their headquarters here. It's interesting. It's just interesting to watch it all unfold. And, you know, it also kind of strikes me that one of the major reasons that they chose the location they chose was because there's a MARTA station there. And I think while MARTA, what we have of MARTA is good in the sense that it's relatively clean, it's affordable, it's relatively easy to use, I think we all know that it doesn't go enough places. And you can't exist in Atlanta without a car. I mean, you have to have a very limited, you know, circle if you want to not have a car here. You know, if you live maybe in Midtown and work in downtown. But then, you know, if you have friends who are having a party in Sandy Springs, you can't get there. So it's very hard not to have a car here, although now there are other alternatives too, like Zipcar and all of that. But still, I wonder when, as all these companies start to move in, if we'll ever have our public transportation expand enough to really make us a city that can be competitive with a major northeastern city.
It needs to, because everything's so spread out here.
Yeah.
You have the outskirts of Atlanta too, and you need a car. It's not like New York where everything is kind of centered around.
Well, and even in New York, like, you can get to the outskirts on public trans and then you get your car. So, like,
right.
I have friends that live on Long Island that take the train into the city.
Right, right.
They drop their car off at the train station and they take their car into the city. And I'm fine with us having our suburbs be like that, but we can't even get really all the way around the city with public trans. So we'll see. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll have some national headlines and, of course, some soapbox coming up. So don't go anywhere. Stay with us. All right, we are back. It's the Business Radio X Week in Review, and we were just laughing about the weather report. It's like a roller coaster these days.
Yeah, speaking of soapboxes.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, today it's going up to 70, I think.
Right, and I'm all for that, but 70, it's about 10 degrees cooler tomorrow, then it's warm for a couple of days, then it's down to 40 on Thursday.
I know.
Make up your mind.
Everybody ends up with the sniffles, I think.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I haven't done a list of anything in a while, and I really do enjoy lists for whatever reason. I just enjoy them. I think it started with Letterman, and I've just loved them ever since. I don't know. But every year, Fortune does their annual World's Most Admired Companies list, and they just came out with it. And four Atlanta companies make the top 50. I'm sure you can guess which four they are. I'm pretty sure it's obvious. Do you want to take a guess, Mike Roy? Four top Atlanta companies? All right, I'll give you a clue. The highest one, I'm not even going to give you a clue. I'm going to give you the answer. That's how much I like you. Coca-Cola. So basically the big four in Atlanta, okay? So Coca-Cola, UPS, Home Depot, and what am I missing? There's a fourth one. I'm missing it all. Oh, and Delta. Duh. Delta, though, this is the first time they've gotten on the list. And Coke is the highest. They come in at number six.
Right.
So now I am going to make you guess. Moving out of the general purpose Atlanta area, what company do you think is the most admired company of all? Number one. Take a guess.
Well, you kind of, the four you mentioned earlier are pretty popular, but FedEx?
I'm giving you a clue right
now. Oh, it's a fruit.
Yeah.
It's Apple.
There you go. I gave him a clue by...
She did not. I figured that out on my
pointing mind. My laptop towards him, but yes, Apple...
Oh, I didn't say computers. I just said Apple.
Right. Apple, number one... Most admired company, Amazon.com, number two. Google, number three, no surprise, right? Apple, Amazon, Google, stuff we probably all use almost every day. Number four is Berkshire Hathaway, which is the company that Warren Buffett heads up, and Starbucks at number five. So pretty interesting. It's an interesting list, you know? I feel like those companies really have nothing to worry about. Now, the list goes on and on and on. I will say, like, Coca-Cola is number six. Pepsi is on there, way, way down the list. And to be fair to you, you said FedEx. They are number eight, so they also make the list. Walt Disney, Southwest Airlines, GE, they're all in the top 10. So kind of interesting. Notice, by the way, that there's no cable companies in the top. No Comcast. Yeah, none of that. No Time Warner. No.
Well, the only one I could see being top 10 is DirecTV.
I think they are on the list.
Okay.
But they are
not
in the top 10.
That's the only one I could see being on the list.
I believe they are on the list.
Okay.
So, because
that's kind of universal. Like, that's kind of the big one.
Yeah, let me see. I'm pulling up the whole list. Let's take a quick look. I'm pretty sure they are. Costco makes the list at number 12. Nordstrom, one of my favorites, makes the list. Whole Foods makes the list. So Apple, number one. Microsoft, number 24. Wah, wah. Walmart makes the list at 28, followed right behind them, Target at number 29. I wonder if they fell after the whole credit card hacking debacle. Hard to know. Wells Fargo makes the list. Volkswagen makes the list. Facebook comes in at number 38, which is kind of interesting. You know, Google's up there at number 3, and Facebook's number 38.
I would have guessed higher.
Yeah, oh, here you go. And here's Pepsi down at number 42. So Coke's at number 6, Pepsi at 42. Kind of interesting.
Pepsi will never come close to Coca-Cola.
Right. Now, Delta, like I said, does make the list, but they come in at number 48. And then the list goes on. I don't know how many. They're not numbered after that. So that was the top 50. And I think I happened to page through some of it before, and I'm pretty sure that DirecTV was on there somewhere. So anyway, kind of interesting. It just makes you think, like, if you're doing a small business, or even if you're just trying to choose who to do business with, that you really do, there is, you know, I was talking earlier in the show about businesses not having not making decisions, that the people who work at the businesses make the decisions, and that we should be marketing, you know, human to human, not, and I read an article that said that, I did not make that up, so, but, you know, versus business to business or business to consumer, right? But it is interesting because businesses do in some way have a personality. That's what the brand is all about. And a lot of the reason we admire some of these companies is because of their success, but also because of their personality. You know, we like Starbucks. It feels comfortable. It's a good place to go and be, and, you know, it's safe. I know sometimes, as sad as it is, if I'm in a foreign country and I'm feeling a little lost and I see a Starbucks, I'm like, okay, I know what that is. I know how to order coffee there. I'm good. And speaking of Starbucks, another national story, I guess it's sort of a national / local interest kind of story, because not too long ago, Starbucks bought Teavana, and which is a tea company that was founded here in Atlanta. Well, now Starbucks is announcing that you are going to see new Teavana stores that are not in malls like you're used to, but actually like Starbucks. They're going to be tea drinking stores, street level urban locations where you can go in and have some tea. It's possible, there's a rumor that the first one may be in Midtown Atlanta, but that has not been confirmed, so keep your eyes out. Now, Mike and I were talking about this before we came on the air, because neither of us are particularly big tea drinkers, and I'm just wondering, like, you know, when you go into Starbucks, they serve tea also. They serve coffee, and now they serve Teavana teas since they bought that company, but are they going to serve coffee at their tea stores? And will it be Starbucks coffee? So is it just another way for them to take over the world?
Probably.
I would
imagine they would sell coffee there. Because if I were to go out on a limb, I'd say coffee is far more popular than tea.
Sure.
They'd probably sell coffee also if they already bought it.
Yeah, well, they don't, you know, like at the Starbucks stores, they do sell things other than coffee, obviously. They sell,
of course,
coffee and some treats, and they sell tea, and they sell water and some, but they don't sell soda, like they don't sell Coca-Cola products, right? So they do, you know, draw the line somewhere. But it will be interesting to see kind of what that, because I would not be personally drawn to a tea store. So it'll just be interesting to kind of see, like, who it appeals to and what the personality of that new kind of offering is.
That's a good point, actually. I was thinking maybe coffee and tea went hand in hand, but it, kind of tea and soda go more hand in hand.
Do they? Well, cold tea.
I think you see more cold tea than hot tea now.
In here, but not nationwide. Here.
Fair,
tea is
that's
a very
fair point. No, that's true.
Yeah.
That's
so true. I don't know. Be interesting to see what happens. All right. Before I get too off track here, we do have some more, another clip for you from Business Radio X. So let me give you a little bit of a background on this one. This is from our Gwinnett studio, and it's from a show called Business Leaders of Today, which is hosted by, of course, I once again, like, have my technology is not working for me. Angel Nolan is one of the hosts, and the other name got cut off somehow. So I apologize to the other host of that show. But anyway, it's a great show. And they had Lloyd Lofton on, who I swear has been on before because I swear I have read his name before. This is one of those deja vu sort of moments for me. But he's a funny guy, and he's the VP of sales with American Eagle Financial Services. He's sort of a marketing guru. And he had some really interesting, thought-provoking comments, I thought, about how companies currently market themselves and what customers actually want. So take a listen to this.
Business owners always think of two things. They always think of product and price. And your customers are not the least bit interested in product price. They're more interested in how does it benefit me. The key is to start talking to people about the things that matter to them the most, the things they use the most, in the order they use those things. And the truth is, it's kind of like driving a car, buying a car. When you go test drive a car, and before you leave the lot and you get behind the steering wheel of the car, what do you typically do? You adjust things, right? And what do you adjust? The steering wheel, the radio, the seat, the side windows. Well, what are you really doing? You're making that car fit you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you take it out for a test drive. You come back on the car dealership's lot. And where does the salesman have you park the car? Well, right next to your car, right? So you can see what a piece of crap you're driving.
Yeah, and then he tries to get you to take it home for the weekend.
Yeah, and then where do you go? Well, you go inside, right? Are you going to inside to discuss which car you're buying? Are you going to decide to determine how much you're paying for that car?
Right.
So you've already taken emotional ownership over the car. You're deciding how much you're paying for it. And that's the challenge. In the lawn business, in the after-school program, the challenge is that we have to get the customer to take emotional ownership over it so the price validates the service they're getting. And that's what we do. That's what we help small business owners learn to do.
Anyway, that was Lloyd Lofton again, VP of Sales with American Eagle Financial Services. And you can hear that whole interview by going to businessleaders.businessradiox.com, I believe. I thought that was great. You know, he says businesses think about product and price, and consumers think about, or people think about, how does this benefit me? And that's really true, I think. You know, I think you're very willing to kind of overspend on something if you really see the benefit, you know. Price is not the first foremost thing in your mind, and which product sometimes is not the foremost thing in your mind, or all the features and whatever. You're like, you look at something, I need that, or that'll benefit me, or whatever the case may be, and then you start thinking about how you're going to pay for it. That kind of gets back to do you remember our clip a couple of weeks ago where we talked about the if customer and the how customer? You know, the if customer is figuring out if they want to do business with you, and the how customer is already wants to do business with you, and they're just trying to figure out how they can afford it.
Oh, yeah.
Very similar ideas, I think, in my mind. It's all sort of coming together. Kind of interesting. But anyway, very interesting guy, very interesting clip, and a great show, Business Leaders of Today, over on businessradiox.com. A couple more interesting things to talk about. We're going to go to a break here in just a second, but a couple of the airlines have some changes that I've been reading about that you may want to know about. Both American Airlines and Delta with some headlines. And I got a few things to complain about for the soapbox. So we'll take a break, but when we come back, we'll get it going. Stay with us. All right, we are back. It's the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm Dana Barrett. Mike Roy is hanging out, waiting for the soapbox ever so patiently. Before we get to today's long list of complaints, a couple quick stories on the airlines I mentioned. Delta making big changes to their frequent flyer program. I'm not sure if you caught this, but we like to catch you up on stuff you might have missed. Delta is now going to change its frequent flyer mile program so that you don't get credit for the miles you fly. You get credit for the dollars you spend, which Kind of stinks.
I don't think that's going to be received very well.
I agree. I mean, I think I understand it from their perspective. You know, the guy spends a ton of money on a, you know, first class ticket is getting the same miles as somebody who buys the cheapest fare on coach because they both fly the same number of miles here to London or whatever, right? But, you know, at the same time, it's just sad. It's just, I don't know. It feels sad.
Yeah, I'm with you on this.
I think some customers are going to be unhappy
about
that.
I think a lot of customers are not going to take it.
Because I think what's going to happen is that people who travel cheaply, because that's all they can afford, are going to be getting rewards less quickly, and they're going to feel bad about that. You know, they're not going to be as loyal to the airline, perhaps, because they won't be getting their rewards as regularly.
And I guess logically, if you're flying further away, it costs more money. So it's kind of a push, I guess,
yes.
But still, it's still not going to...
That's a fair statement. You're right. I mean, a flight to California is cheaper or is more expensive rather than a flight from, you know, Atlanta to Miami.
Right.
So therefore, if you fly further, you still will get more points, but you know...
Well, I guess my point is it might not matter as much as people will make it out to be.
Here's what people are going to say.
Maybe. I don't know.
This is like helping the rich get richer. You know, like the people who already have money to fly with the, you know, the lawyers that are flying on the company dime and whatever... And with big expense accounts are going to get the frequent flyer miles faster than the regular guy that has to fly in coach.
Yeah,
that's, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I always think I don't have a problem with them doing it in theory, but, you know, they always have to look at the repercussions, and I'm sure they have, on how the customers are going to take it, what kind of feedback they're going to get, especially nowadays on social media and in the news and all of that. Here we are talking about it, right? So American Airlines also doing something interesting, and they're not the first airline to do this. Several of them have done this already. But American Airlines is ending their bereavement fares. So most of the airlines, I think all of them at one time or another, had these policies where if you said, I had a death in the family or a medical emergency, they would give you a special deal. Well, American Airlines is now ending that. It's part of their merger with U.S. Airways, who already was not doing that policy. That was a really poor way of saying that, but you know what I'm saying. Anyway, another thing that I just find interesting... why get rid of something like that? Why not keep that policy? I guess people can lie, or I don't know. You have to show proof that you, I don't know, which is also sort of hard to do, or anybody could say they have it. I don't know.
Yeah, anyone can say they're doing it, but getting proof of it, that's
right. I don't
a little
know
what, bit difficult.
And, yeah, I don't know what they ask for proof, because, you know, like...
It almost seems like harassment, too. Like, if they ask you to provide proof of someone, of a family member's death, I don't know.
I agree.
It's weird.
It's weird, but at the same time, it's sort of like if you have that happen, you know, if somebody dies and you need to get somewhere and you don't have $1,000 to buy a last-minute ticket, that they should have some deals. Well, their answer to that is we have better walk-up deals now than we used to. So there are deals available that are no better than what the bereavement deal would have been, and you don't have to prove it. Anybody can get those last-minute deals.
Right, because those are pretty much always untimely.
Right.
Bereavements. I mean, unless someone's...
Unless you know.
Unless they're suffering or something. But a lot of them, you have to... buy a ticket at a last minute. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. I have sort of mixed feelings about it, because on the one hand, you want, as a brand, you want to seem like you're sympathetic to people's troubles and you want to help them out in their times of need, right? On the other hand, like, it just does get very complicated to start asking people to prove it and whatever. So interesting. I just thought worth mentioning. A couple of other quickies before we get to the soapbox. Time goes so fast in this hour. I can't even, you know, it's crazy. This was a story I actually had last week that I wanted to share, and I ran out of time, so I'm just going to briefly bring it up. I caught a story a week and a half ago now that CNN's Headline News Network is going to start adding some, I'm going to call it odd programming, game shows, social media countdowns, and what they're calling funny online classified ad shows. This is all coming under the rebranding with the new GM over there, whose name is Albie Hecht, and it's really rumors right now, but I don't know. Apparently some shows under development, one's called Keywords, one's called I Can Has News Tunes, and one's called One.Click.Away. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll keep our eye out. Kind of interesting because they're here in Atlanta, but I don't know. I guess everybody's trying to get ratings, right? So they got to do whatever they got to do. Another interesting little quick news note, Atlanta is trying to become what's called a smart city for mobility. It's actually a title that's being given out by an international association called GSMA that is going to be giving this sort of title to a variety of cities around the world, and Atlanta is sort of vying to become one of them. Now, I read the article. I didn't just headline surf here, and I was trying to understand what the benefit of that is, and I think it's just more, it's just more in our sort of bank account, if you will, emotional bank account of being a great city to come and start your business. I don't know that it actually does anything for us, except it's another great title for us to have for people who are looking to bring their businesses here. But I will follow up on that and see if I can find out more about it, because I wonder sometimes, you know, just because you have the gold seal of approval from somebody, does it really do anything for you, or is it just a pretty little gold seal? I don't know. All right. So I went to the mall. Let's get to the soapbox. We got a couple minutes left. I went to the mall the other day, and I went into a chain store of kitchen goods to buy a gift for somebody, and it's a store that I haven't been in quite some time. And the first thing that happened is I can't get into all the details because I don't want the person who I bought the gift for to hear exactly what I spent and all of that. But anyway, I wanted to buy this one particular item, and they had a sign, a display sign. Actually, I saw it twice. It was in two places in the store that said there were three of this item available. One at the low price, $12.95, one at the medium kind of level, $20, and one at a high price, $30. And I didn't want to buy the highest price, one that seemed silly. In fact, I was interested in seeing the one for the lowest price. And the reason is because I was going to buy a couple of things and put them together to make one gift. So the lowest price one, I saw it on the sign, but I couldn't find it anywhere on the shelves. So I asked for help, and the clerk, who was very lovely, very nice person, looking in the computer, I'm starting to get bored is how long it took her. She's looking. Meanwhile, I get my smartphone out. 5 minutes into this, I get my smartphone out. It takes me like 3 seconds tapping on my smartphone to pull up a picture of the cheap item on their website and show it to her and say, here it is. Here's the item. They were like, they had no idea. And only because I pulled it up on my smartphone were they able to get the SKU number and then look it up in their computer and then say, oh, we don't have it in stock.
Were they angry when you looked it up on your smartphone? Like,
they handled
it. That's my job.
No, they took it. They were okay. And then the next thing that happened in the same store, I find another item that I'm interested in, doesn't have a price tag on it. So I ask how much it is. And again, it takes her 5 minutes. I mean, not 30 seconds. It really takes her some time to find the price. And she's looking. And she finally comes back and says this item is $29.95. And I say, oh, that's a little more than I want to spend. So just let me leave it up here. I'm going to look around some more. So I look around some more. I find the exact same item elsewhere in the store with the price tag on it. And it's $19.95, not $29.95. So what is happening there? What's going on in that store? Is there a problem with their computer systems? Is there a problem with their training? Is there a problem with the way they mark their products, their signage? I'm not sure what the problem was, but that's not good service.
Maybe one was a different color.
It wasn't.
A slightly off shade of white.
No.
I'm not sticking up for them. I'm just trying to figure out any kind of logic.
Yeah, I appreciate that you're trying to help them out. But,
I'm really not. But
the staff, you know, one of the key things I think is the staff needs to know the merchandise that's in the store. And a lot of stores have a lot of small odds and ends and things that change regularly, seasonally, things like that. So I understand that it's not necessarily going to be possible for every person who works in a store part-time, you know, a couple hours a week or whatever, to know every item off the top of their head. But they have to then have a good system to be able to look things up. So if they have a sign up in the store, it needs to have the SKU numbers on the back so they can look it up. You know, if they have an item that doesn't have a price tag, I mean, come on, there's just got to be a better way. It just seems crazy with all the technology that's out there that I was able to find prices and items faster than they were.
I'm sure you'll come up with a better way.
Oh yeah, and I'll make
a bajillion. I'm sure you probably already know what it is.
I'll come up with a better way. I'll make a
bajillion
dollars.
You're
going
to tell me about it next week.
Yeah, yes, and as I give in my resignation, I will and go off and start my bajillion-dollar company. That will be what we're doing next week. All right, well, that's about all we have time for today. We'll be back next week with more headlines, great clips, all of that. We'll see you, and in the meantime, go out and have a great week.